right, thank you. You may be seated. Hey, it's good to see all of you here today on this beautiful Palm Sunday, a day that we get together and we celebrate like we do every week, but today there was just something special that we're going to see in our message today that happened. And I want to welcome you here today, whether you're here every week or you're joining us for the first time. We are so glad that you are here to celebrate this day with us as we dive into God's Word in just a moment. But we're so glad you're here. If this is your first time, we'd love to get to know you a little bit better. There's a couple ways that can happen, but there's a communication card in the seat back in front of you. You can take that. You can scan the QR code on there, and it'll take you into our website. You can learn all about Living Water. And there's a place that helps us to get to know you better. If you'll fill that out, we would love that. Or you can just fill out that card, drop it in one of the wooden boxes on the way out this morning. Again, we would appreciate that. So are you glad to be here today? If you're not glad to be here I'm not going to go there. So good to see you. I am glad that you're here, and I'm glad to be here. Today we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 21. So if you would, grab your Bibles. Turn to Matthew chapter 21. We're doing a two-week series that we're calling Unexpected. When Jesus doesn't meet your expectations. Today we're going to be looking at not the king that they wanted. So I have a question for you as we begin today. Has there ever been a time in your life where Jesus did not meet your expectations? Now, I know what the church answer is. I know what the Sunday school answer is. And if we were in Sunday school, we would ask that question. Everybody say, oh, no, he's always met my expectations. He always meets our need. Because we know that that's the right thing to say, right? So I want us to think a little bit deeper, though. I want us to consider, has there really ever been a time where we thought Jesus would show up in a certain way, and he didn't show up in the way that we expected? Or maybe we thought there's something that Jesus can handle this, and he didn't handle it in the way that we expected, so he did not meet our expectations. And I have a feeling if we were all to be truly honest today, we would say, yeah, that's happened in my life. Maybe there was something very specific that you were praying for, a need that you had, and you were just crying out to God, and he did not come through in the time that you expected him to do that. That one I'll ask. Has that ever happened to anybody? You expect Jesus to show up right now, and it may be a little bit down the road. We're an unpatient people, or impatient people, or whatever the word would be. We don't have patience in our life, right? So we expect things to be taken care of now. So sometimes he just does not meet those expectations that we have in our life. Well, today we're going to step into one of the most celebrated and dramatic moments in the life of Jesus. This is his triumphal entry as he enters into Jerusalem, what would be the last week before he is crucified. He comes in on this great day. It is a wonderful day of celebration that we're going to see in just a moment. The crowds have lined the streets. The people are shouting. The palm branches are waving. And they're celebrating the arrival of a king. They got part of it right. But as we will see, he was not the king that they expected. You know, there was one young boy years ago, he loved going to church. Every Sunday, he was the first one up in his family, and he would get ready to go, and he was trying to hurry everybody else along because he didn't want to be late for church. He just loved going to church. Well, this one particular Sunday happened to be Palm Sunday, and he got up and he was not feeling well. So he was not able to go to church that day, but his dad and his older brother went on to church. They come home that afternoon and they're carrying these palm branches that were handed out to everybody at church that day. Well, the young boy was very curious and he said, what are those for? What are they about? And so the dad tells him, so well, when Jesus was coming down the street, the people were waving the palm branches. And it was a great time of celebration. And the young boy got a little confused look on his face, and he thought for a moment, and he goes, great. The one time that I don't go to church, Jesus shows up. So I like that story because there is an expectation that this boy had of when Jesus might show up, and he showed up the day he was not there. And sometimes when Jesus doesn't show up when we think he should, or he doesn't show up in the way that we feel like he should, we feel like we've missed something. That day that boy felt like he missed something. Or sometimes we even think maybe Jesus is missing something, missing an opportunity to do something in our lives. Now, obviously, Jesus is with us every week, but I think there's something kind of profound hidden in that little boy's frustration. So as we look in today's message, I want us to consider this. What do we do when Jesus shows up, but it's not how we expect it? It is not what we expected. So as we look at Matthew 21 today, we're going to get a picture of Jesus riding into the city on a donkey, not on a war horse. And let's just ask ourselves this question, a deeper question. What kind of king are we looking for? What kind of king are we looking for? And then the question goes further than that to say, what kind of king do we need in our lives? So Matthew chapter 21, beginning in verse 1, says, as Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethpage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. Go into the village over there, he said. As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you're doing, just say, the Lord needs them, and he will immediately let you take them. This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heavens. The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. Who is this? They asked. And the crowds replied, it's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Let's pray together. Father, today I thank you for this time that we can gather. We can study your word together. And I pray that just over the next few moments, we would pause for a moment and reflect on who you are. God, let your word today speak to our hearts. And as you speak to our hearts, let us be quick to hear, quick to obey, quick to do what you ask us to do. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. So there are several things in this passage that I want us to see this morning. And the first thing is this. The crowd expected a conquering king. They expected a conquering king. Look back, if you would, at the first few verses here. It says, as Jesus entered, the disciples approached. They go on. He tells them to go and get this donkey. And he starts riding into town on this donkey. And I want you to see something here in Zechariah 9:9. He tells about the prophet. Tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. This was a prophecy that was talked about many, many years ago. And so if the people knew the prophecy, they would have been expecting this. But they weren't expecting this kind of king. They were expecting a king that would come in and he would take over. He would take charge. He would set up his kingdom and he would be the one in control. The people were ready for a revolution. They were living under Roman oppression, and for generations they had been clinging to the hope of a Messiah, a deliverer who would rise up, who would rally the people, who would overthrow the empire. That's what they wanted that day. That's what they were expecting that day. But listen, God had a much different plan. And I want you to, again, take notice of this, something that's easily overlooked. And it is this: God is in control of all the little details along with the big details. Again, we see that when he says, he gets up and he tells the two disciples, we don't know which two they were. He tells them, hey, you go on to that little town over there and you're going to find a donkey. And not just a donkey, but a donkey and a colt. And they're going to be tied up together. And I want you to grab that donkey and that colt. I want you to bring them to me. If anybody asks what's going on, you just tell them, the Lord needs it. And you bring them to me. Going back to the prophecy that was already talked about. So these two disciples, they go into the town, and guess what? There is a donkey and a colt tied up, just like Jesus said that it was going to be. God was already in charge of the details. God knew everything that was going to happen on this day, the days to follow, the days leading up to this. God was in charge, even to the smallest detail of having the donkey and the colt right where they needed to be, right at the time that they needed to be there. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, that's very encouraging, that knowing that God is in control of even the little details, that he can do what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, and have everything in place right at the time that it needs to be in place. And that is true in our lives today as well. He is in control. He knows what he's doing. He knows what is needed for that time. And I love this because if Jesus needed a donkey, God could have just said, hey, here's a donkey, right? I mean, it could have just appeared. Or why do you have to send two disciples? You need this donkey. But I love this because this reminds us that God uses the resources of his people to accomplish his purposes. God uses the resources of his people to accomplish his purposes. Did you get that? Do I need to say it one more time? All right, I'm going to. Thank you. God uses the resources of his people to accomplish his purposes. He could have had a donkey there. He didn't need to go get somebody else's donkey. But somebody out there, we don't know who this person was that owned the donkey, but this person had what God needed to use for his purposes for that day. And he sent the disciples, and they go and get this donkey. Several years ago, a lady got up on Sunday morning, and she was ready to go to church. She had her Bible in her hand, her purse on her shoulder. She was all dressed, and her husband's out mowing the yard. He goes to church with her every week. So she goes out and says, what are you doing? You're going to have to hurry so that you can get ready to go to church so we're not late. And her husband wipes the sweat off of his brow, and he says, I've been so busy this week. This is my only day off. I've got so much to do. I'm not going to be able to go to church with you today. Well, she was a little bit frustrated with that, so she gets in the car and she drives to church. She walks into the building and she finds her spot and she sits down and she crosses her arms and she's just a little bit irritated that her husband didn't come with her that day. Well, the preacher comes in and he says, open your Bibles to Matthew 21, and the title of today's sermon is God Needs Your Donkey. And as she listens, something came over her. Maybe it was the Holy Spirit, or maybe just a little holy payback. But she picked up the church's communication card that was in the seat back in front of her, and she begins to fill out as many places that she can in the church for her husband to volunteer. A few days later, he starts getting text messages and emails. The first one says, we want to thank you for volunteering for our parking lot ministry. The next one comes through and says, we are so glad that you want to help out in our nursery on Sundays. Third one came through and said, you are signed up this week to serve donuts and coffee. He goes home and he sits down with his wife and he says, is there something you need to tell me about what happened in church Sunday? She goes, oh yes, it was such a great message, such a convicting message. And the whole message was about how God needs your donkey. So I volunteered mine. All right, let's see if we can get back on track now. So here we go. Jesus is coming in. The people have an expectation. The expectation is that he's going to come. He's going to overthrow the Roman government that has them oppressed. But that is not what he was up to. And again, he uses the resources of his people to accomplish his purpose and plan. And while we do not know exactly why he needed this donkey and colt, other than it was talked about in the prophecy, he used it. And this person that owned it was part of this grand picture, this grand event that was taking place because he allowed God to use his resources that day. And Jesus comes riding in on this donkey. Notice what he says. In Zechariah 9:9, which was prophesied, a king who would come, not with violence, but with peace. He says, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. It's like showing up to a championship game, and you're standing there waiting for the MVP to show up, the one that everybody's watching, the one they know that will help the team win, and they're waiting on him to show up, and they're looking for that big, long, stretched limousine for him to ride in and get out of, and he comes riding up on a bicycle. And you look at him and go, that's our MVP? That's our most valuable player? And so you can get a picture of the crowd as they see Jesus coming in. He's not riding on a warrior's horse. He's riding on this donkey. Now keep in mind, back in that day, if they were in a time of war, the king would ride a war horse. But if they were in a time of peace, the king would ride on a donkey, representing that peace. They were wanting the warrior, and Jesus is saying, I'm coming in peace. I come today because I have a bigger mission. I have a bigger purpose than what you're expecting and what you are thinking is going to happen. And what a message he was sending. You want a king that is going to bring war, but I'm a king that will be bringing peace, and not peace that the world will understand, but an inward peace that you will have by following me, by being one of my disciples. I'm coming to change your life, if you will allow me the opportunity to do so. What a message. See, they expected Jesus to show up and fix everything. Sometimes we do that too, don't we? Jesus, I need you to fix everything. I need you to fix my life, put it back together. I need you to conquer my problems. I need you to crush my enemies. I need you to answer my prayers exactly how I want them answered and exactly when I want them answered. But what if he's not coming to conquer our circumstances? What if he's coming to conquer our hearts? Because that's what was going on during this time. Oh, they want their circumstances taken care of. But Jesus comes riding in on this donkey, representing that I'm coming to do something so much more, so much greater than what you will even get today. So, secondly, the people wanted a moment, not a Messiah. They wanted a moment, not a Messiah. Here they are, they're crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna. The king is here, the king is coming. Hosanna in the highest heaven. The energy was electric for the people there that day. This was a great moment to be a part of. Some might have even said, this is a glimpse of glory, what we're seeing. In Luke chapter 19, you have the parallel to this. And in Luke chapter 19, Luke's version of this same story adds just a little extra detail that Matthew leaves out. And in verses 38 through 40, he says, blessings on the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Some of the Pharisees among the crowds said, teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that. And Jesus replied to them, if they keep quiet, the rocks along the road will burst into cheers. I love that. So here they are, they're all praising, they're all worshiping Jesus as he's coming in. And here's the Pharisees over there. You can see them with their arms crossed, a little bit irritated. And they call out to Jesus and they say, Jesus, Jesus, tell these people to stop doing this. Tell them to quit having this celebration. Tell them to quit crying out to you. Now, if I were Jesus in this moment, I wouldn't have responded to these Pharisees. I would have just turned to the crowd and I would have said, hey, I'm going to need y'all to be silent for a moment. Just so those rocks would have cried out. And you know what would have happened? They would have all stood there and enjoyed the first rock concert. But Jesus does, and he turns to them and he says, if they're quiet, these rocks are on standby. Why? Because he's going to be worshiped and he's going to be praised. Now picture this. you're one in the crowd and you're not doing the worshiping and all that. And if Jesus would have done that, and the rocks would have started worshiping and crying out, how would you have felt? You had that opportunity and you missed it. And there's a lot of people that miss it that day, and there's still a lot of people that miss it today. The people are praising. The rocks are on standby. The Pharisees are angry. But the praise of many of the people didn't last long. Just days later, many of these same people would be in the crowd again, but this time, instead of praising him and crying out, Hosanna, they began to cry out, crucify him. Crucify him. We want Barabbas released. Take Jesus and crucify him. Why the change? Because Jesus didn't meet their expectations on that day. Now, who was wrong? Well, again, we know the Sunday school answer. But dig down deep, who was wrong? They had expectations that Jesus was going to do this. I'll answer it for you. They were wrong. Okay, you don't have to sit there and think about it. They had their expectations. Jesus had a much bigger and better plan. Whose do you think was the better plan? Again, Jesus had the better plan, right? We know that. They couldn't see that in that moment. And because he didn't meet their expectations, how quickly they would turn, how quickly they would change. He didn't come in and destroy Rome. He didn't take up power. He laid it down. He turned his focus to the temple. He didn't wear a crown of gold. He wore a crown of thorns. They were excited about a moment, but they weren't prepared for a Messiah who would ask them to lay down their very lives and follow him. I wonder if you ever had a time where you had an impulsive buy. I mean, you saw something and you're like, man, that is exactly what I need. That's going to change my life if I buy that one item. And you go home and for some of us, those items are right now in our junk drawer, right? We might need them someday, maybe. Can't throw it away because it was a big impulse buy. But we had this one thing that we knew was going to change our life. But the reality is we weren't totally sold on it. We were just sold on the moment. We were sold on something that looked exciting, but we weren't really committed to it, and that's why we put it aside. And that's what the people did with Jesus. He was trending. He was exciting. He looked like the real deal, but when he didn't meet their expectations, they would quickly walk away. In Luke 9, 23 and 24, Jesus said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it." They were looking for this one that would come in and fix all the problems and make my life better. Oh, you want me to surrender to you? Well, I'm not ready for that. That's not what I'm looking for. That's not the Messiah, the Savior that they wanted. Let me remind you today that following Jesus isn't about comfort. It's about surrendering everything daily to him. The people loved following Jesus when he was turning water into wine, when he was raising the dead, when he was healing the sick. They loved being a part of all of those moments. They loved that part of Jesus. The miracles were great. But when it comes to saying that I'm no longer going to live for myself, but I'm going to live for you, I'm going to follow you, I'm going to surrender my life to you, then they back up and go, whoa, wait a second. That wasn't what I was expecting in this relationship. That wasn't what I was expecting here. And so they quickly turned. And then notice, the crowd wanted celebration, not surrender. They wanted a hero, not a savior. They welcomed the king of the moment, but not the Lord of their lives. They were shouting praise, but not seeking a cross. The people wanted the Palm Sunday glory, but they didn't want the Good Friday sacrifice that was to come. What about us? Are we in love with the idea of Jesus, or are we truly surrendered to the reality of who he is, even when he calls us to take up our cross and follow him? And then the third thing is this: Jesus came to be the king that we actually need. Not the king that we expect, not the king that we make up in our minds that we want him to be, but he comes to be the king that we actually need. Look back at verses 10 and 11. It says, the entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. Who is this truly? They asked. And the crowds replied, it's Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up. Everyone was looking, everyone was watching, everyone's paying attention, and they're saying, who is this? Who is this guy? And they're saying, this is Jesus. That's who it is. This is Jesus that is coming into town. This is Jesus. The question for us today is, who is this? Just as they asked, who is this? To the crowd, he was a prophet. To the disciples, he was the Messiah. To the religious leaders, he was a threat. And as we see later in the week, to Pilate, he was a puzzle. But the truth is, this is Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He wasn't looking like who they thought he should look like that day. He wasn't meeting their expectations that day, but he came to meet their deepest need. Not for political change, but for heart transformation. Not just to bring peace around us, but to bring peace within us. Oh, he didn't come to wear a crown of gold. He came to carry a cross of grace. A wonderful grace. We don't deserve it. They didn't deserve it. But he freely gives it as he laid down his life for us. So ask yourself this question. Who is this? Who is this Jesus? Who is he to you? Who is he in your life? What expectations do you have of him? Isaiah chapter 53 says this about him. He said he had no beauty or majesty. He was pierced for our transgressions. Philippians chapter 2 verses 6 through 8 says, though he was God, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Many times we're praying out to God, would you change my situation? Would you change my circumstances? And Jesus replies, no, because I'm here to change you. Not the king they wanted, but the king they needed. Let's go back to that little boy that I began with for a moment. The one Sunday I don't go to church, Jesus shows up. What we see in this passage is that Jesus showed up. And Jesus continues to show up today. He is still showing up. But to many, he won't look like the king that they're expecting or that they're wanting. He may not always fix things the way you hoped for, but listen, he will never stop loving you. He will never stop drawing you close to himself. The question is, how will we respond? How do we look at this? Who is this Jesus? I think there's no better way on a day like today to understand who Jesus is a little bit better than coming to the Lord's table together. A time that we celebrate communion, a time that we celebrate his death on the cross, his body that was broken for us, his blood that was poured out for us. It's a wonderful time for us to reflect and to remember, to understand, and to accept who he is and the sacrifice that he made for us. In just a moment, we are going to take communion together. The elements are going to be passed out. Today, if you are a born-again believer, this is a wonderful time for all of us to celebrate together. You don't have to be a member of Living Water. But I want to encourage you, as you take these elements today and we hold them together for a moment before we share in it together, reflect on who this Jesus is. Reflect on what he has done for us. Remember his body that was broken for you and for me. His blood that was poured out for the covering of our sins and our transgressions. The sacrifice that was made. May this be a time that we lay down our expectations as we remember who he is. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you again for your word. I thank you for the challenge through your word. And God, I pray that today we would just let your word soak into our hearts. God, I pray that today we truly would ask the question, who is this Jesus? What are my expectations? What is it that I think that I need from Jesus? But Father, help us to truly understand today that our greatest need is the need of salvation. And if there's anyone here today who has not received you as their Lord and Savior, pray right now that your spirit would just draw them close to you. And during this time, as we reflect on who you are and as we prepare our hearts for this time of communion, God, right where they're at, that they would say yes to you. God, I pray that many of us that have been believers for many years, that we would not take this moment lightly. God, we would use this time to reflect on that great sacrifice. God, we would remember today just how much you truly love us. And that you came not to meet our expectations every day, but to change our hearts. God, I pray that this would just be a sweet time for everyone in this place. And it's in Christ's name that I pray.
Yeah.
Jesus was betrayed, he was gathered with his disciples, having the final meal, the Last Supper, together. And as he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body that is broken for you. As often as you do this in remembrance of me." And in like manner, he took the cup. And he said, "This is my blood that is poured out for you. As often as you do this in remembrance of me." Let's stand together as we prepare to dismiss this morning. I want to remind you, of course, next week is Easter Sunday. We're going to have a great time of celebration together. And it is a time that you can invite people to come with you. And we always have a great crowd on Easter, and we're looking forward to that. So as you go out this week, just remember the great sacrifice that Christ made for us and who he truly is. And we have a whole world that needs to know that. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you and give you his peace. Have a great week.
Grace on top of grace. Rescue.